Praise the Lord this morning, and we're going to take a reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have, do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I'll give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. I also have received from my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now this is the fourth letter to the fourth church, or the fourth message to the fourth church at Thyatira. And when we're reading this, this message has come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like I've said before, people pictured Jesus as a person who wouldn't have pronounced judgment, but all he pronounces is blessings, blessings, blessings. But here, when we, you know, persist in our sin and the hardness of our heart, then Jesus, in his exalted state, will pronounce that judgment. And there's a scripture verse here in this that Jesus is saying about this woman Jezebel, indeed I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, lest they repent of their deeds. Now this is, you know, in the Christian life, sometimes sin can cause physical sickness. Some people have even died because they have refused to repent of the sin and died in that state, become ill and died in it. We've got clear examples of this in the Bible. We also have it, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, around the Lord's table. It said, if you come with sin, harboring sin in your heart, and you don't keep it right, you don't put it right with me, then you bring judgment on yourself. These words are coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, in this letter here, this message here, is pictured here as one coming in judgment, as symbolized with eyes like a flame of fire. Now, fire speaks of purging and purification in the Bible. The fire of God comes to purge and purify, and his eyes were like flames of fire. Fire purges the dross from the gold, and it purifies. And so when Jesus brings this warning to the church, it's so that the church will repent and put it right and get rid of this woman Jezebel and deal with her for allowing her to come in and to bring this seductive heresy into the church. The dross is the sinful nature. Dross is the sinful nature. And dross is worldliness. And the acts that spring from this condition. And the fire has come to purge from his eyes flames of fire. His feet like fine brass. These are the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that he saw in this vision. His eyes as flame of fire. And his feet like fine brass speaks of judgment. He's coming judgment. The sin of Jezebel had caused judgment to come to this church. Now the spirit of Jezebel, and we need to realize this is a serious issue here. It's an evil demonic spirit that continues up to this present time and has entered many churches up to this present time. And it needs to be dealt with, the spirit of Jezebel. Now Jezebel was a daughter of a Sidonian king. So she was a king's daughter. And Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab. And she promoted the Canaanite religion in Israel, Baal worship, which was her ancestral religion. Now Jezebel was associated with harlotry and witchcraft because that's what she was. She was a whore, she was a harlot, she was a witch. And she was evil through and through. To the core, she was an evil queen. Ahab was an evil king. He committed more sins than all the kings before him, the Bible says. But he was married to somebody who was even more evil than he was. And she ruled the roost in that marriage. The order had been reversed. The order of God. God said, man is the head of the woman, and man should lead. But the order had been reversed where the woman was ruling and reigning, and she had taken the place of the king. And really, as a queen, she should have been in submission to the king under his authority and leadership. This is the order of God. This is not to suppress women. We're all equal, but we all have a role, and it's identifying that role and recognizing that role. And if we step out of our role into another's, there's going to be trouble, and God's judgment will fall, as it did on Jezebel in the end when she was eaten by dogs. A curse from God came upon her, and she was eaten by dogs. She was thrown from that tower, from that high building, to the ground, smashed on the ground, and her blood spattered all over the place. And then she was left on the ground. She died a miserable death and was left there to the dogs. Now, I know a little bit about dogs eating bodies, because when I was in India and on the Ganges, where they throw the bodies when they can't afford to have them cremated on the ghats, they throw them into the river, babies, bodies everywhere. You walk along the Ganges in the river, you see the bodies floating down the river with birds pecking away at them. And now and then you see a dog dragging an arm through the town, or a leg, or part of a body. This is what happens in India. So this is not, you know, fiction. These are facts. Dogs eat bodies when they're hungry. Because it's not like here, you know, where we put animals before human beings. But in India, it's not like that. Animals are treated quite cruel in some places. They don't have that, you know, so much money spent on them like we spend on this country, where it becomes ridiculous. It's to the point of being sin, I think. We go over the top, we end up worshipping our animals. I remember being in a church one day, and this evangelist said, somebody has got an idol in the heart, and it's a dog. And I believe that's true. Sometimes we can put animals before God. We love them more than God. I was talking about loving people more than God, and that was wrong. It was a sin. That was idolatry. How much more an animal? Doesn't the Bible say they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen? The false prophetess, Jezebel, in the church, was given the name Jezebel because she was seducing the people with literal and spiritual fornication. She had brought into this church sexual immorality. Now, we know this country, this world, Babylon we're living in, is rife with sexual immorality. Anything goes. And I think that program on TV, if you who are listening to this message today, watch that Big Brother, you need to repent. Because all it is glorified harlotry. Watching how many people are going to have sex with. Why do we watch filth like that? Why do we watch those immoral programs? You know, these are the things that we need to turn away. I'm talking to Christians today. I'm not talking about sinners out there that are listening, because you don't know any better until you come to know Jesus and put things right with God. And then you realize with the Spirit of God in your heart that He's holy and He doesn't approve of these things. As a matter of fact, God's judgment is against them. And so now we've become like the Roman Empire, where they started glorifying in sex and homosexuality and bestiality and all the rest, where we actually bring it, put it on the TV, is it Channel 4, and watch people abuse one another, watch people, you know, openly have sex with one another, and so on. This is against the law of God. This will bring the judgment of God upon this nation. Idolatry in the church. These were the two sins that were pointed out that would bring the judgment of Jesus Christ on Jezebel. Sexual immorality and idolatry. You know, this is rife in the Bible. It keeps speaking about pointing out these two sins, sexual immorality and idolatry. Paul warned about it so many times, it coming into the church. She actually brought this doctrine into the church, she promoted it. And people, like some people are, you know, they've got itching ears and they want to hear the latest thing that will satisfy and gratify the cravings of the sinful nature. You know, took it in, hook, line and sinker, her teaching. There's a lot of false prophets on the internet. You know, I could mention a few, but I won't mention the names. I think people that are listening to this will know some of them I mean. And they're teaching wrong things. And people are going to them, they've got itching ears, they want their itches, ear scratch, they want entertainment. Don't listen to these people. The more you listen to these people, the more they'll poison your mind and teach you false doctrines and heresies. I don't want to mention the names because I don't want to glorify them in any formal way. Ahab, king of Israel, married Jezebel, the daughter of the Sidonian king, who worshipped and served Baal. Ahab followed her example, which led Israel into the idolatrous and immoral practices that was rife in the land. And to please her, Ahab built a temple and altar to Baal in Samaria. That's what Ahab did. Now Baal was the chief male deity of the Canaanites and Phoenicians. He symbolized the productive forces of nature. And Asherah was the wife of Baal in Canaanite mythology. Listen, praise the Lord. It's good to praise God in the midst of judgment. We're in the land of judgment. We're in a world under the judgment of God. We've just seen it. Already, again, people need warning. If you went to Glastonbury or you were in Boscastle when those floods came, realize it's the judgment of God on the occult that these places actually promote. If you're not aware of it, it's only because you're ignorant of it. Now you've heard the word of God, and now you know that this was an intervention of God. That's why you didn't need Wellington boots this year. You needed waders to walk in the mud. You were flooded out. This was God. We're interpreting the will of God to say this was a judgment of God and is now, as I speak today, they're already in Glastonbury today. More gale force, more wind, more flooding to come. Judgment of God. And the millions of pounds they spent defending to defend the floodwaters, the place against the floodwaters. Even then they were on the edge thinking that the whole place was going to be flooded out again really badly. It was flooded, not as bad as it was, but this is a warning from God. We need to take notes. Now, what is the warning from God? Turn away from the occult. Turn away from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. Repent and put it right with him before it's too late when the day of his wrath will come, and then it will be too late. Ask Jesus Christ into your life. Repent of your sin. And ask Jesus to come into your life. He's a great Saviour. Praise the Lord. Now, her example led Israel into idolatrous and immoral practices and so on. They were even sacrificing some of them to Baal, the children, in the fire. That's how sick they had become. The Bible states that sinners are sick from the top of the head to the soles of the feet with putrefying sores. And this is what the nation of Israel had become. Entangled, swamped with idolatrous Baal worship, even using the children. It's like these people who use their own children in these paedophile rings for sexual practices to entertain others, their own children. And then God has been watching, has brought that judgment and broken up that big paedophile ring, in this, mainly from this country, United Kingdom, and exposed people publicly and that woman for abusing her own daughter and allow others to be entertained by it. This is how sick our society is and this world is. The Bible states, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because it will cause you problems with your walk with God. This is speaking to Christians before they're married. Don't marry an unbeliever. You'll have a problem. I know God can help people who are already married and then they get saved in that state. God has promised grace and blessing on the family because he knew that you can't do anything about, you know, God blesses. Now, all I encourage you to do is pray for your partner that they will be saved. Jezebel signifies evil. She didn't have a meek and submissive spirit as queen, as a queen, which was of great price in the sight of God. She had had that meek and submissive spirit before God, first of all, and then to the role of a husband. She would have been blessed by God, but she was a rebel. She was an idolatrous, evil queen. She also was a murderer, because Jezebel signifies rebellion against God and authority. She had a man murdered so that Ahab could have a land. That's how evil she was. She schemed and she planned murder and carried the act out. She was wicked through and through. You've heard about Eva Perón in Argentina. God judged her as well, and angels smote her and the worms ate her, because she was into witchcraft. And I think it was Eva Perón, yes, I think I've got the name right. And she was suppressing the whole country. The moment she died, revival broke out. The angel of the Lord smote her. This was in this present day, not long ago really, in history. Jezebel in Revelation was leading born-again Christians into the abominable sin, away from God. 1 Kings 18:4, listen to this. Listen to the warning from Jesus Christ to the church that allowed the cult Jezebel in. I will, let me just open my Bible up here to this bit. And I gave her time to repent. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. You see, God in his warning, judgment warnings on this world and all the flooding, the judgments and everything else, is giving people time to repent through his grace and mercy, because he's long-suffering. But that long-suffering has a limit, a time limit, because it says here, indeed, because she did not repent, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I give to each one according to your works. If sin is not dealt with, then the people of God will be destroyed by it, and the judgment of God will come upon them, and that will be their destruction. Jezebel signifies feminism. Jezebel signifies control spirit, dominion over men. There's a lot of women today, feminists especially, and those pro-abortionists, who have the Jezebel spirit, the demonic spirit that says kill children, rebel against men. Until in the end, it's the order is, if I know men have oppressed women in the past, but let's have equality. We're all equal in the eyes of God. But now women are domineering men, oppressing men. It's this control, domineering spirit that's an offense and abomination in the sight of God, and God will judge it and the person involved in it. There is nothing better than there's nothing better than a person, and whether it be a man or a woman, who has that meek and submissive spirit to God. And I want to tell you something. God will exalt you. God will bless you. Which is of great price in the sight of God. God using Sarah as an example, who submitted to Abraham. And because she was blessed. She had a child that blessed the whole world, and through whom Messiah came to bless us today. We're born again. Thank you for being submissive, Abraham. Thank you for being submissive, Sarah. My question is, where were the men in this church that had allowed the woman to come in and have freedom to promote false, idolatrous teachings? This woman was disregarding her role as queen and was not subject to the king. She had usurped authority over him instead. That's what she had done. Praise the Lord. Terrible, really. Just let me go through this. 1 Timothy 2:12. and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now that has been misinterpreted, misrepresented, and people use it to say women shouldn't teach, women shouldn't evangelize, women shouldn't prophesy, women shouldn't do this and that, and they should just be quiet, and men have actually used it to suppress women. Now that's not what it means. This prohibition, let me tell you what it means. This prohibition in verse 12 refers to the authoritative office of apostle, teacher in the church. It does not forbid women to educate, proclaim truth, and exhort and prophesy. And I've got loads of scripture to prove it. Priscilla apparently occupies the office of pastor teacher along with her husband in the scriptures. Just an example. But this is what I'm trying to say today. Where were the men in this church? The men who should have used their apostolic office to correct this woman. Why did God have to send her a letter to sort this church out? They should have known better. And that's it with a lot of pastors today. They're afraid to correct people. They're afraid to lose that person who's giving so much money to the church to support his ministry, to keep him going. So they won't offend them, and they'll compromise and keep the mouth shut where people are in, they're allowing people into the church who are abusing children, the homosexuals, and they're teaching false doctrine, and they're living worldly lifestyles instead of giving ministry that will sort them out and make them holy. So where were the men in this church allowing this woman to come in? She should have been in subjection to the authority of the apostle in the church. Now, one of the greatest teachers that I ever knew was a woman. She used to come and teach in our church, and I, be quite honest, I honestly can't say I've ever heard anybody like who could expound the scriptures in such a way and with such authority and accompanied with signs and wonders as this woman. She was called Thelma Lloyd, and she was awesome. I had great respect for her, but one of the things about her that I noticed was she was in submission to her husband, who was a pastor. She always took him with her wherever she went, but she spoke with dynamic authority. When he spoke, he was quite quiet, and he hardly did anything. He gave a prophecy now and then, or sung a song, and they used to pastor a church together, and then they went out into the field of evangelism, prophecy, and so on. But when she went out, she spoke with the authority of Elijah. But she always knew and respected the headship of the man and his authority as being appointed by God. And because of that, she was blessed, he was blessed. We were both equal in the eyes of God, but she knew her role and his role. And the moment a woman, Christian woman, sees this in a man, and a man sees that he shouldn't suppress women, and respects his role, that he is under the authority of God, and as Christ loved the church and nourishes and cares for it, so he should with his wife, then you're going to be blessed. So, where were the men? Well, I don't know. But this letter was going to sort this out. That allowed this woman to come in and have freedom to promote false idolatry, moral teachings. The woman Jezebel also threatened the life of the prophet Elijah. She had no fear of God. She said, "You've killed the prophets of Baal. By this time tomorrow, your life will be the same as them. You'll be dead." And he was, and those poisonous words of that evil spirit Jezebel put so much poison in his mind, it struck him with fear. "I've had that happen to me. It'll make you run." And he ran for his life. But thank God, God went with him and sorted him out. She was a law to herself. Even Ahab was in submission to her. The God-given role of man and woman had been reversed. Jezebel was a harlot and a practicing witch, 2 Kings 9:22. The 150 prophets of Baal ate at Jezebel's table. She slaughtered many of the prophets of the Lord. She was evil, wasn't she? She had Naboth murdered so as to acquire his vineyard for King Ahab. God eventually judged her. She was killed by Jehu, and the dogs ate her. Well, there's a lot here, and a lot I've said. There's more I want to say on this particular message to the church in Thyatira next week. And so we'll carry on from there. Let's just pray. Thank you for your word this morning. Water it in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.